Hello, everyone. I'm drunk.
And I'm sort of drunk.
And welcome back to another episode of They Mostly Come Out at Night.
Mostly.
Now, I don't know if anyone remembers, because it's been a while since we've did one of these. Our 100th episode. Oh. We started on a retrospective of our least favorite director of all time.
A shitrospective, if you will.
Mr. Uwe Boll.
Yeah.
We start with House of the Dead. Now, we're on to his fucking second meme.
Alone in the Dark.
Alone in the Dark. And holy fuck. So, to give a little background, I have seen this movie.
Right? I have not. I saw House of the Dead before, but this is my first time actually watching
this. I saw this movie not when it first came out. It took a while for me to see it. I was still a teenager, though.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know that dates me. It ages me, but whatever.
Shut up, Grandpa. Who fucking cares?
Back in my day. Sorry, I'm a little...
Do you want to pull Purple Heart for watching this when you were...
I feel like I may need one.
I think
I know Stolen Valor's a thing, but no. I think I may need one.
If you sit through these movies, you need something.
I'm a veteran of Uwe Boll films, okay?
Not everyone can do this, okay?
Now, I will give some... Like I said, I'll give some context. I did not like this movie when it first came out. I fucking hated this movie. I actually laughed at it quite a bit.
Shocking.
And
it's so good.
I was so ready for Alex to see this as well.
Fuck you.
Like, I just wanted to share in my pain.
Fuck you.
Share in my pain of having to be not the only person that has seen and sat through the entirety of Alone in the Dark.
Sat through is a good term, because if I was watching this on my own, there is no way I'd make it past 2 minutes.
I don't know how I watched it. I really don't. Maybe like just morbid curiosity or something. I don't know.
I mean, if you told me that you watched it because like you were going to get laid or something, I'd understand.
No, it wasn't even that, dude. Like I just watched it.
But this.
I didn't have a girlfriend at the time. Fuck.
This movie became your girlfriend.
So, and I will apologize ahead of time. I was planning on making a Dark and Stormies because I'm trying to do theme drinks for each of these.
Yeah, well, you forgot.
So Uwe Boll, I forgot because fuck this movie.
Yeah.
So I went to Scotch
and it's whiskey. Fine.
So I've been having quite a bit of whiskey with my fucking viewing. And now I'm drinking a beer, which probably isn't a great idea. But you know what? YOLO.
Before we go further,
I want to live life because I just watched this movie.
Before we go further, there is something I need to bring up again, because I told myself that I would mention this in every one of these reviews.
Okay.
Uwe Boll is a smug man.
Very.
He thinks he's the shit. He thinks he's awesome. He thinks his movies are interesting and unique and blah, blah, blah. He's a genius.
Well, yeah.
Now, all of these movies, this is his own words, were made using basically a tax scam.
Yes.
Where even if the movie was a horrible fucking bomb, which this was, he would still get his money back.
Yeah, because of a loophole.
Because of a lovely little loophole. And I think it was on the commentary for this movie that he admitted that. Now,
how fitting.
How fitting is it that this dude thinks that he's a genius? He quit filmmaking because people wouldn't fund a fourth sequel to Rampage, which we'll get to.
Because people wouldn't support his fucking movie.
And he was like, fuck you, you don't know what a genius is. And I'm thinking to myself, if you're so honorable and such a genius, why did you make movies with a fucking tax loophole?
Yeah, why would you steal money from the fucking government?
Yeah. They had to shut down the loophole because his movies are so bad.
Like, I know we talked about this before, but yeah, they literally shut down the entire program because of Uwe Boll.
No.
It wasn't because of anyone else.
Him.
It was just him.
I'm going to mention this on every review because I think it's worth repeating, because fuck him, and I hope he sees it.
I hope he does too. He didn't see House of the Dead because there wasn't a shitstorm, but yeah.
I hope he sees it, and fuck him, and fuck this movie.
This movie fucking blows. Let's just get into it.
Let's get into it.
It's so fucking dumb.
Listen, it opens with a text scroll. A slow text scroll.
Now, you also looked up some trivia about this text scroll.
Yeah.
We'll get into it at the end of the episode, but I want you to, like, remember that we have some info about this text scroll.
Because the text scroll explains a big chunk of the beginning plot, which, again, will be repeated shortly.
It's basically saying that this ancient society had, like, the Ebkani, had this, like, light and dark, and they opened a portal that could fuse the two together. So they created
stuff.
And there was darkness and light, and they...
And then FYI, there are people called sleepers.
Yeah, it's just fucking gobbledygook.
Who are fused with the dark.
Now, sorry, something I want to talk about, I forgot, before we get too into this. You have played the games, right?
I've played the games.
Does this have anything to fucking do with the games?
No, the games, at least the old ones, are kind of like... They're like Resident Evil. It's just like you walk around creepy rooms with a fixed camera angle. It's very, like, atmospheric and slow. There's no action. This is not it.
Okay. Just want to get that out of the way.
But Uwe Boll, you know, he doesn't...
Dude, he can't not, okay?
He can't handle it.
He can't. He thinks he can, but he can't.
No, so he shoves in some of the worst shootouts I've ever seen.
Now, I'll admit, we're not filmmakers, and we're not... You know, we're just movie reviewers. But, like, come on.
You can do better.
Anyone could do better.
Yeah. Like, there's the Resident Evil movies. They're not good.
Well, clearly not. But at least they're a little bit better.
But at least, like, the early ones, they're fun.
The first three are okay.
Yeah, there's some fun.
The first one is really good.
I'll be honest.
I'm a fan of the first one.
I think that, I'll be honest, like, this movie probably rips off the Resident Evil movies. And there's a lovely little movie called The Relic, which I showed you a clip of, and all of you should look up.
It seems very similar.
But this is just dumb.
Sorry, we're going on tangents here.
Because I don't want to talk about this movie.
There's not much to unpack here.
I just want to get to the ending, because I'm still mad.
Dude, to be honest, there's very little to unpack.
No. Because we get it. Okay,
so we get the text crawl happens. And the text
crawl. And then we're like, okay, whatever. And then...
Oh, fuck. Where am I? God damn it. Oh, God damn it. I am so fucked. I don't know where my
phone is. You're right, homie.
No. I'm
pretty sure you literally had it with you.
I did. And now I can't find it.
We have an emergency.
No. I'll find it. Don't you worry.
When Will says he's looking for his phone, that's where we take our notes. Sorry to ruin the fucking illusion. Okay.
I found it. All right, okay. We're good. We good. We Gucci.
Well, after text crawl, we get a, like...
Okay, what do we get?
A nun? No, we get people running through the woods... And I thought it was daylight.
Yeah, running through the woods. It's like a kid running through the woods and a bunch of people searching for. Mm-hmm. And now we get... And then it immediately cuts to a doctor and a nurse talking.
A nun.
But they explain that, like, a doctor did experiments on orphans.
Yeah.
And those are the sleepers.
Yeah. Well, here's the funny thing. That was also mentioned in the opening crawl. So we have to hear it twice.
Yes. So he's talking about, like, oh, like, you know, just tell them that... Like, all the kids escaped. And, like,
call the
they
cops.
All, they all just disappeared and all this stuff. And she's like, well, I don't think that's right. And, she,
and then the
like,
guy comes.
Do it.
Don't forget, a guy comes in and he's like, the head count said 21, but we only counted 19. Can I ask you something?
Yes.
We know one of those people is our guy.
I thought they said, like, they counted, the head count says 20, but they counted 19.
21.
Was it 21?
Is it was 21, yes.
I don't fucking know who the other one was then.
Thank you.
If that's what you're going to ask, I don't have any fucking clue.
They said 21. There's 19. Two missing. We only know about one. It's a kid hiding in, like, a electric
So the police are thing. There and the nurse is talking. Like, it just cuts to this. And she's talking about how all the kids just escaped. And there's a kid fucking hiding in an electric box. And then his his fucking eyes, you see two monsters appear.
And then our lead character wakes up on a plane. And then a kid, for no reason, starts talking to him about how, like, how you shouldn't be scared of the dark.
I don't know why. This is
unprompted. And he says, like, yes, you should.
You should be scared of the dark. And then,
that's what keeps you alive.
Of course, there has to be some explanation to this. So now we get a glorious voiceover by the enigmatic Christian Slater.
Playing our man, Edward Carnby.
I know I was mean to that kid. You may say I was mean to that kid.
But he has to know about the dark. But he has
to know about the darkness.
And then he gets in a cab.
The fear of dark is the only thing that keeps us alive.
Only thing, yeah. Some shit like that. He gets in a cab, and the guy's like, what do you do? I'm a paranormal investigator. Oh, yeah? What's that? I investigate the paranormal.
Yeah, like in the fucking drops. And need I remind you, paranormal investigation is not a fucking job. It's like TV schlock.
Well, who cares? It's fine.
Dude, who cares? Yeah.
Comparatively speaking,
the fact that he asked what the fuck a paranormal investigator does because it's in the fucking job title.
It's fine.
Yeah, whatever.
But
so we get a car chase scene because the other guy's, the bad guy's in a fucking taxi because an old guy said to fucking take a hit out on the Christian Slater's
character. An old guy on a boat is like, he calls a guy in a safari hat.
Digging up artifacts or something.
But for no reason, he calls a guy in a safari hat and is like, we need this thing. Get him. And then there's a boring chase. It ends in an alleyway where the car gets rammed and the taxi driver has like a giant cut on his head. And then our guy is like, wait here.
He's and like, then the get car down and the car rams the car
full speed and he jumps out.
Probably dead. I mean, he's not in the movie, but in real life he would be dead.
Well, he disappears. He after said, this.
Get down and killed the guy.
Yeah.
So,
and then they,
so then they have a fucking John Woo's first fucking movie, like, fight scene.
Well, there's an amazing fight scene that's basically just like jittery camera angles.
It's like the diet version of John Woo films. If you've ever seen like Hard Boiled,
it's
or
not
like
not even that, dude. It's worse. It's like they fight and there's like you can't tell what's happening, and then suddenly he kicks the guy and he flies like 50 fucking feet through a glass window.
But the guy's not done because he tries to tackle Christian Slater through the fucking window, and then they fucking fight again in incoherent garbage, and then they go to a fucking fish market for no fucking reason. An
ice factory.
And then Christian Slater like breaks an arm of a cop and steals his gun, and then fucking they run into like fucking doll, like the wheelie, like the wheel, like the things to like transport things.
Transport goods.
I can't remember what they call them.
And so then he just essentially fights him with his legs.
And then Christian Slater tries to shoot the guy.
Oh, he shoots him like three times, and each time he's just like, eh.
And it goes into like bullet mode, where he follows the bullets to the fucking target.
It goes inside the gun and then fires out and goes through and hits the guy in the body.
But he doesn't shit.
Die.
Groundbreaking shit right here.
He's not dead.
So they fight on the fucking, like, wheeler things. And then, like, Christian Slater sees... Sorry, I'm going to call him Christian Slater because I cannot for the life of me remember what the fuck his name is in the movie.
Carnby.
E. Carnby.
Edward. It's from the game, Will. Edward
Carnby.
It's from the game.
I haven't played the games.
I know. So that's as close as you get.
So he looks at the spike that's behind the guy, and he lifts his strong-ass leg and fucking kicks the guy into the fucking, like, spike.
May I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Oh, I get it now. I know why he died. Never mind. Because it severed the thing.
Yeah, no, as we were fucking explaining it, I got it. Because he shoots the guy in the heart.
He shoots him multiple times, and he's still fine. But he severs a... we'll get to that.
He severs a thing.
Oh, God. We see more grandpa on a boat.
So he...
and then we get introduced to our scientist lady.
Yes. Fucking Tara Reid. Like, I don't care if she hears this.
Hey.
Tara Reid.
Well, stop me if you've heard this one. Tara Reid plays a scientist.
Stop me if you've heard this one. Tara Reid acts badly.
No.
Dude, the no. only... I'm sorry. I don't mean to go on a tangent here. The only even remotely good film she was in, I'm sorry, was American Pie.
Well, yeah. But here's the joke, is she's basically playing that in this movie where she was supposed to be a scientist.
Or in every single fucking movie she's been in since American Pie.
But boy... Can I just mention that Uwe Boll's dream was to have Christian Bale and Jessica Alba in this? I'm sure that they both regret so much.
I'm sure Christian Bale and Jessica Alba are... And Jessica Alba is not free from the fucking debate on terrible actresses, okay?
Yeah.
She's not that great. But, like... But still, I'm sure they're looking at this and being like, wow...
No, he wanted us. I'm sure they regret this so much.
Oh, especially Christian Bale.
His career, you know, it's nothing without this.
Nope. Until you have an Uwe Boll film in your belt, you're nothing.
Nothing.
Like Jason Statham had one.
Hey, his career survived.
Christian Slater.
We don't remember.
This might have killed Christian Slater's career. It just might have.
It might have.
Tara Reid was in Sharknado, so I can't say it killed her career, but, you know.
Sharknado was the obvious evolution from this.
Well, I mean, she played the same character in that, so.
But at least they can say this, Sharknado is not this annoying.
Sorry, tangents.
It's fine.
So, we meet the curator, like, she was told not to open something.
But she did.
She opens it, and, like, she starts doing stuff. And then we get Christian Slater going
scanning.
No, he goes to his house, remember?
Well, first he walks through an alleyway, and then it's like
an empty alleyway, and there's fucking weird camera angles flying around everywhere.
And then he walks into a warehouse, and it's his house.
Yep, and then he just lays on a fucking mattress on the ground.
But don't forget, he starts scanning his, like,
thing. Oh, that's right, yeah, he does start scanning his thing.
And he doesn't even do anything. He just puts it on a table, walks over to a laptop, and it's all, like, technology scanned in.
Yeah.
We get more of... We get the fucking guys on the
boat. The curator on the boat.
With another guy.
They finally, like, unearth the fucking chest, and they, like, the guy's like, we shouldn't, like, blah, blah, blah. And
well, first he mentions that it's made out of gold.
Yes.
Because they used to house... They used to put valuable and secret shit into gold boxes. It's fine.
Because they said it warded off evil or kept in evil. Whatever.
And then the other guy's like, gold...
Hell yeah. So they locked the old guy in a fucking, like, in a fucking part of the ship.
And open it.
And they open it, and they fucking just release evil.
We hear growling, and then we see the sleepers.
The sleepers have been awakened.
One by one, all the orphan childrens are now adults.
They start fucking just walking away from their everyday lives. To do what? I don't know.
Who knows?
Because they don't explain what the sleepers do.
The old guy is in a room. There's banging on it. The banging stops. He walks outside. Everyone's dead.
It just fucking everyone murked. Blood everywhere. And then...
What do the sleepers have to do with anything? I don't fucking know.
They don't fucking explain it.
Nothing.
So they're all dead. He gets the fucking, like, special thing he needs from the fucking chest. And then leaves. And now our hero wakes up.
Well, the hero finds out that all of the orphans are missing.
So he goes...
Investigating.
He becomes a PI now.
Yeah.
Not a paranormal investigator.
A PI.
A private eye.
So he goes to his old orphanage, and he's just like, I need the files. And she's like, okay, here's the files.
And then they don't even look at the files. No. And he fucking just has every sense of information and is looking on the FBI like... Yeah. Like, missing people's page.
He gets a guy from the paranormal agency in the movie.
What is it? Warehouse 713 or something
like that? And then he shows him, like, a folder, and he's like, yeah, they're missing. Like nothing actually happens in this scene. It's just him investigating.
He's like, yeah, they're missing.
Also, we get a shot of the 713, like, warehouse tech room where they're just like, we picked up signals. So what are the signals of? I don't fucking know.
Then our fucking hero goes to fucking Tara Reid, where she's sitting at the same fucking desk.
And she's like...
That she's been sitting at for like 24 hours.
But she recognizes him. She hugs him.
Yeah.
She hugs him.
And then slaps him. and said, you worried me. You were gone for so long. I thought you were dead. And they have a fucking tussle because...
Context.
Because he didn't tell her that he was gone for 6 weeks.
That he was gone in the Amazon.
Tracking fucking traitors or something.
Tracking a little artifact. It's fine.
A little tiny artifact. That has zero to do with the actual plot.
But it's fine because...
What does he do with the artifact? Nothing.
Nothing. But here's the thing.
Why was it even important? I don't know.
Well, one of them becomes important later. Remember, they open the door with one of them. But as they're talking, the lights start flickering.
Oh, and then we get our fat security guard.
Paul Blart fucking starts walking around. Bumbling, he's on the case.
Bumbling around this museum.
He's on the case.
And then we get a fucking reverse face hugger.
Yeah, it's like a
I know I'm rushing through this, but I just want to get to the fucking juicy
part. Okay, but here's what happens, though. Here's the horror. He walks around a room. It's dark. You can't see shit. There's growling. And then suddenly there's a bad CGI monster stabs him in the back of the head, and he's dead.
It stabs him through the mouth and, like, fucking wraps around the back of his head. And then not the front of his head, because that's copyright.
Then he falls down on his face. Flat on his face. And then when they find him...
Our heroes find him face up.
Face up. As he laid there, flat on his face, he looked up at me. And then...
With his little Chinaman eyes.
Staring deep into my soul.
He said something like, Kukasau, or something shit like that.
Some cartoon shit. That's this movie, is what they fucking did.
If you haven't seen Black Dynamite, go see it.
Please. Oh my god. Watch that instead of watching this, please.
So they get attacked, they start running around, armed forces fucking shatter through the fucking ceiling for no reason.
No reason.
There's no fucking...
You know why? Because they got signals of something.
We don't know where they got the intel that this thing is moving around, and they just start fucking firing blindly.
You know what they do? Three jackasses stand in a line and shoot at nothing. End. End scene.
End scene. Then we get a yelling match between Christian Slater and the villain from Blade.
Another career destroyed. Thank you, Vivol. Fucking
ruined.
You fucking mongoloid. Killed another one.
So they yell at each other for a minute.
Because Christian Slater used to work for Unit 713, and the other guy is like, fuck you, you quit. You get nothing.
And then he...
They tussle,
and then
but it's
he
fine.
He tussles because he's stealing the fucking name badge.
No, he steals his PlayStation 2 memory card, which is a name badge.
And then, for no reason, he goes to the fucking doctor that's doing an autopsy on the guy that he killed, like, way earlier.
The guy from the John Woo fight scene.
Yeah.
And this is where we find out that he was being controlled by a thing in his spine.
Like a centipede thing in his spine.
The reason he died is because the thing in his spine was severed.
Yeah.
Now, remember that.
Then they do, like, a little Geiger counter thing.
He was invincible until the thing in his spine was severed. Remember this coming up. Because let's just say that this doesn't really matter after this.
Let's just say Mr. Bull forgot about this little detail.
And then, like, that's fine.
But then they fucking get out a Geiger counter and figure out that Christian Slater
has one in himself.
But it's dormant because he was in the electric box when he was a kid.
And it killed it.
And it killed
the fucking spine centipede.
Electrocuted it. Because he hid in a transformer.
It didn't even zap him. Just the fact that there was a zapper in the room is enough to kill it. Why the
in
fuck?
In a fucking transformer.
It's electricity. Will, do you know how much electricity there is in the fucking world? Why are the sleepers not, like, zapped? I don't know. It's fine.
So now we get the old guy returning to the fucking museum that the Tara Reid's still at for some reason.
And he has...
After all that bullshit, she's still there at the fucking desk scanning
but it's fine.
The shit.
Grandpa has the thing behind the door, and he stabs it and gets blood and injects it in himself. Why? I don't fucking know.
Because he's fucking injecting himself with alien blood because we need a plot device.
It's not an alien, though. It lives in, like, the fucking...
Oh, yeah, they created it. Underground. Oh, sorry. Spoiler alert. So he's giving himself monster energy, and then Christian Slater returns home because he's had a tiring day of investigating shit and being almost attacked by monsters. So he falls asleep, and then Tara Reid, for some reason, has a fucking key and goes in.
Not yet. So here's the way this scene is set up is pitiful, because she walks into his room with a key and starts putting stuff down. We cut back to Scientist Man and Mr. Blade villain talking, and he's like, "You trust Carnby?" He's like, "Yeah, I trust him." "I don't know why you trust him." "I trust him." Cut to porno music.
And fucking Tara Reid.
And dry humping.
And dry humping, because they both have clothes on. Like,
he takes off her top, she has her bra on, he has his pants on. They start fucking through their clothes, through porno music, and it's the sloppiest thing I've ever seen. End scene.
So now,
they're looking at the artifact again, and nothing really happens.
And then we get the fucking, the grandpa that's injecting himself with, he goes to the fucking guy who's been helping Christian Slater's character.
Oh, and kills him.
And Christian, like, the guy who's been helping Christian Slater has the darkest fucking house I've ever seen in my entire life.
Because his wife's cooking dinner in the dark. And then she just, like, hears something, walks away, and he hears dogs barking.
And then he starts searching in the dark and then gets strangled by the old grandpa.
He didn't look too upset, though, about his wife dead on the floor.
No, he's like, eh. And then he, like, walks around.
It's like, gets Susie.
Gets strangled by the old guy, and the old guy pulls out a fucking parasite that he puts in the fucking informant's mouth.
Where do you get the parasite?
I don't know.
Thank you. And then we get the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my fucking life.
I love this scene first, so much.
First, it's Christian Slater and Tara Reid. They hear something. He walks around his apartment, which is just boxes and lamps.
It's like a warehouse of boxes and lamps and a fucking mattress in the middle of nowhere.
And a zombie attacks him.
Yeah.
And he shoots it.
So now the sleepers are attacking.
And it's dead.
That's his friend, though, from the orphanage, remember?
Okay, remember the old guy? Remember the other guy in the John Woo scene?
Yes.
How did he die?
Severed his fucking, like, the parasite.
We see, like, 20
zombies. Christian Slater shoots the guy in the face, and then he dies.
We see 20 zombos in this scene die.
And then Christian Slater and Tara Reid are fighting him off, and then all of a sudden, fucking Unit 317 just bursts through every fucking window possible.
With metal music, and then the creatures show up.
I love this
scene. And the room goes dark. The room goes black.
So, the next scene, this action scene, if you can call it that, is just, like, a row of throwaway soldiers just shooting in random directions and not hitting a goddamn thing.
Occasionally, a flickering light illuminates a creature, a bad CGI creature, but it's just like people shooting at nothing.
It's funny because they're like shooting up, down, left, right. Like,
yeah.
Fucking everywhere, diagonal.
The only light source in the scene
is the muzzle flares.
That's it.
Yeah.
This goes on for, like, over a minute.
And then they're like... It's my favorite scene because I laughed so hard at it.
And then they're like, oh, it's done. And then the zombies come out more.
And they start murking the zombies.
Apparently, in between the first scene of the sleepers and now, they literally turn into zombies with zombie makeup. But, may I ask, they die from normal gunshots now.
Yes. So now they're fucking just dying left and right. So Christian Slater and fucking Tara Reid get the fuck out of there while they leave Unit 317 to mop up the rest of their mess in Christian Slater's house.
Yeah. Well, don't forget, after this, they take him, they're like, he's like, oh, I'm not mad at you, I believe you now.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, and I need my fucking name badge back.
So they take them on a helicopter and they fly over to this factory, which is just tires on pallets.
Tires on pallets, and it's where this ancient evil is supposed to be. How'd they get this intel? I don't know.
They scanned it. Remember? The scanners!
How convenient.
We know because there's a man with a laptop in the whole scene just looking at it.
Scanner.
Yeah.
And they're setting, and it's just 10 minutes of them setting up this fucking base. Just them getting ready for battle. All this fucking, like
you know what the remote base...
controlled fucking Gatling
gun. No, one gun. The base setup is them sitting next to boxes and tires, and one little turret.
Tires on pallets.
And they're like, oh, this is
the best defense. This is supposed to be like a high tech, fucking like insanely like
yeah
like secretive. Organization
with all the best resources and everything, and then they have
they have scanners,
right? They have one Gatling gun and a billion scanners.
So fucking Christian Slater and co go into fucking a barn.
They go into a mine shaft
and they find a mine shaft and they like get. There's the one guy that's like, I think I found something here. And he falls to his death on fucking spikes like it's Indiana Jones.
No, they're like in this room. And they're like, it's Afghani. There's Afghani writing. And then the guy's like rubbing the floor.
He's like, I found something.
He's like, I found something. Ah! And.
And then, so two guys get ropes and the fucking rest of them just climb down.
Well, the Native Americans were kind enough to build ladders for the idiots who don't have ropes.
Yes.
So they climb down this, like, hole.
As a fucking thing, like, a pillar starts, like, closing in on them.
Have you
seen
Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
Whoa. And then they get down there. One of them is injured because she fell, like, 4 feet.
And then gets attacked by the little worm thing.
Oh, yeah. No, the worm thing comes out of the fucking sand, and they don't shoot it.
They just look at it while it bites her in the fucking leg.
And then she dies, and they shoot at more worm things in the sand, but the natives were kind enough to use, like, bulletproof sand, so it doesn't do anything. And then she dies, but before this, before the greatest thing ever happens, before this happens, Tara Reid reads the wall, and it says, like, if you can read this, you're already dead.
If you're here, you're already dead or something like that. But don't worry, because when the girl dies, just before the scene ends, she gets back up.
Now, we're not saying she stands up, but here's what happens. They're like, she's dead. It's over. And they get walking.
She's laying there, and then her head just like right before the scene ends, her head rears up.
They left it in.
Like, it's a millisecond, but, like, you can... it's totally totally noticeable.
It's not even, like, subtle. It's in the blatant. Movie. And they left it in.
So, anyway, so now they go off camera, and we just get the fucking, like, end-all, be-all, like, old guy fucking standing on a hill, summoning all his demon dogs to the fucking, like, the ring, because all the fucking the sleepers that had nothing to do with the plot
are dead.
So now it's all the fucking demon things.
And they come there and everyone's like, they're all getting ready to fight the demons. They're
all like kneeling behind their fucking tires and their fucking pallets.
And we see invisible monsters. And then they start shooting in every direction but the monsters. Up,
down, left, right.
By the way, there's a fucking... during the earlier scene where they're shooting the zombies, the bullets, you see like the bullets like going across the screen.
You see like the trace lines of the bullets.
And it's never...
and they never fucking connect.
But in the scene, they die. So there's a part when like the guy's about to get killed by a zombie and Christian Slater shoots it and we see the trace line and it's like 5 feet above its fucking head. But it just drops dead.
But I love this scene where they're shooting the demon things because, like, you just get a guy in a Gatling gun just firing in the fucking air for no reason.
At nothing.
And then the guy's, like, aiming, like, literally, like, feet in front of him.
Yeah.
On the floor. Just
there's
fucking...
the guy who's in the back, and the whole time you see him, he's, like, aiming up at the fucking sky.
Yeah, even though the things, like...
are in front.
In front of them. So, they just fucking getting murdered left and right. One of the fucking, like, the Xenos that they call them.
Oh, yeah, they call them Xenos.
Instead of Xenomorphs, you know, because copyright. Aliens. Xenos. So, one of the Xenos, like, climbs up on a building and takes out both the fucking helicopters conveniently.
In, like, 3 seconds.
Yeah, it just jumps on a tail. The tail crashes into the other helicopter. And they're both dead.
We don't get the courtesy of even seeing bad CGI explosions.
So it's just murking fucking everything.
Until there's two idiots left.
One guy that needs to stay with his laptop because it's
the scanner.
It's the scanner.
And then a woman who's just there.
So the
woman
goes into the barn and like looks around, and the guy doesn't hear back from her, so he goes into the barn. And he goes on to the second level and miraculously teleports to the bottom level.
Back to the first level. Because we can see the stairs that he climbed up right behind him.
So he goes and he sees her head ripped open. And then the fucking monsters attack, like, start drooling.
It kills him off screen.
And then they both kill him off screen.
Have you seen Alien?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, this is where I stopped taking notes. So I'm sorry if my notes are a little jumpy.
Dude, my notes were all, like, one word. It doesn't even matter.
So they go into the fucking facility. They find the fucking, the experimental lab. And they look around and they see the Christian Slater's character's bed. Even though
They also see the, like, blueprints for the spine centipedes.
The spine transplant.
And the guy's like, we've been trying to kill what we created. Because they find out that
we thought they were aliens, but we created them or something like that.
They find out that the fucking experiments were done by Unit 713.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know.
It doesn't explain ever.
Who cares?
So what the fuck ever.
And they see a door.
This movie doesn't like explaining anything, so.
No.
You know.
Because they find a door. They open the door, and there's a door that can only be opened with the artifact.
Well, somehow the electricity still works down there. I don't know how, because they had to do a generator, and the generator literally blew up in the fucking final battle.
It blew upstairs. Up because the guy who was helping Christian Slater is now being controlled by a spine centipede. He just fucking kamikazed himself.
He just fucking murked himself. And then, like, so the electricity still works, and they're like, oh, like, then they have, like, this fucking, like, fireside chat at the fucking final door.
Well, he's about to open, and then he's like, no, this is too much. And then they're about to leave.
Like, Tara Reid's like, some doors aren't meant to be open.
And they're about to leave, and Grandpa shows up.
Grandpa has a gun to him, and he fucking takes the thing, and
he explains his plot, which I don't remember shit about, because it makes no sense for why Grandpa wants to open literally the door to hell.
It's incoherent garbage. So he, like, he takes the fucking thing and he puts it on the door, and a little too late, our fucking, like, the douchebag hero throws a knife into him.
And then he's dying, but Grandpa, right before he falls down, he has time to turn the key.
He rolls over.
Well, don't forget, he turns the key, and he falls down. Facing them.
Facing them, and then in the next scene, he's facing the other way.
He's quick. I think the actor just didn't want to do it.
Probably not.
They had another actor ass-facing. Ass-facing the audience!
That's this whole movie, just ass-facing.
And then the door opens, and they walk in, and it's like an earth... It's like a giant cavern.
That's all these fucking demon
shit.
There's
millions of demon creatures.
It doesn't explain any of this shit.
I'm going to ask a question for you later because I don't understand this at all. So they close the door. Oh, no. Douchebag hero plants a bomb.
He closes the door. They start running out of the cavern. And it has to show every single dead person above.
But here's the thing. They find another ladder. Another ladder.
Yeah, because the other one is sealed. And conveniently, there's another exit.
And then we get a split second of the idiots in the computer room, and there's, like, tapping on the ceiling.
That's...
Okay.
The last we'll hear of them.
I'm going to ask a question about this later, because none of this makes any fucking sense.
So, anyway, we get them, they're going to escape, and the douchebag hero's like, oh, wait, I gotta detonate the bomb.
Because the bomb signal is too weak, he can't detonate it.
So he has to fucking run back, and for no fucking reason, he opens both doors.
Well, he opens the door to get his bomb.
And he grabs it.
And then he puts it in the room with him. And he puts it for, like, 5 seconds.
And then explodes it. And it's Christian Slater and fucking Tara Reid come out conveniently in a bunker right where the fucking orphanage is.
A bunker that wasn't there before.
in any of the scenes.
When he visited it earlier, there was no bunker there. But I do find it
and
very...
And even when he was a kid, there was no bunker there.
I do find it very convenient, though, that this little orphanage has a bunker door that leads you down a fucking mine trap with fucking traps in it and a goddamn experiment room and literally like a cavern to hell.
And it's like literally next to the playground where all the
fucking kids play. And no one bothered looking at
it. No one cares.
No one gives a shit. There's like a rusty lock that they shoot out, remember?
Yeah.
And they get out, they walk into the room.
And the fucking,
the nun killed herself.
Dead. Yeah, she's dead.
She slit her wrists because she couldn't handle
something. So they're like,
something.
Okay, fuck it, we'll go into town. And then it says like 8:25 a.m.
City evacuated. The whole city's empty. This is where my confusion set in. And then...
Then it shows the fucking underground, like, Unit 317 and every, like, it's all empty.
Well, here's the thing. We get narration. Christian Slater's like, the Epcani knew that when they do the thing, like, humanity suffers. We're getting the same lesson, something like that.
And then something about, like, we should be afraid of the dark or something. Yeah. Like, something about light and dark. And then...
By the way, it's daytime.
And then camera fucking just zooms the fuck in on Tara Reid and fucking Christian Slater. Now, I also want to mention, we probably... I don't know if we mentioned this before, because I'm drunk and I'm forgetting. Now, in the beginning of the film, one of the doctors said that the monsters were so sensitive to light that it could kill them.
It could kill them, yes.
Like... heavy light can kill them.
Kill!
And it is broad fucking daylight.
Light when, bad.
When Christian Slater and fucking Tara Reid are attacked.
Yeah. By the way, end movie. Roll credits.
That's how the movie fucking ends. They get attacked and movie end.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
The implication... at the end of the movie is that the city was like overrun by the fucking demon things. How?
And not one point did they explain that the fucking demons were taking over the city.
But how?
I don't know.
The entrance to the demon cavern
was sealed.
Was blown the fuck up. How did they get out?
Well, it was also sealed, and that would have been like just like a few hours before they got back to the city.
Grandpa had a chest.
There's no fucking way in the amount of time it took them to get back to the city that those monsters could have overrun the entire fucking city.
Because presumably they overran the city in the middle of the night. Presumably. Now, another question. The chest had one creature in it.
Yes.
How the fuck does Grandpa summon like 50 creatures?
Because he injects himself with
predator
blood.
Okay.
I don't know how
Did he found birth it. Them? Did he shit them out of his fucking ass?
I don't know.
It's fine.
Can I ask you another question? What was the purpose of the sleepers?
None! The sleepers wake up and they walk somewhere.
And then they know exactly where to fucking attack. And just, like, die instantly. And then nothing.
Okay, the guy in the beginning.
Also, why
was he
there...
a sleeper?
Yeah, was he a sleeper or was he not?
He had the spine thing. But why was he invincible? Why were the other sleepers not invincible?
Why did the other sleepers wake up at the time the monster came out, but the guy in the beginning, during the John Woo thing, was already awake?
Presumably he was not a sleeper because Christian Slater didn't recognize him. He recognized all the other sleepers, but not him. Why?
Why orphans?
Because fuck, you know why? Because orphans don't have parents. Well,
just fuck orphans. Orphans don't have parents.
You know what? That's the worst thing about these spine centipede pushers.
These orphans, they don't have parents.
Because these kids are orphans, and orphans don't have parents. Please watch Black Dynamite.
So why the fuck wouldn't they, like, inject this fucking thing that makes them super strong into, like, soldiers or something? If they have an entire unit called 317,
they literally...
why wouldn't they use the fucking centipedes on the warrior, like, the fucking, like, soldiers they had at their disposal?
Presumably the unit had access to a demon cavern.
Also, why the fuck would the old guy attack his own agency that he was working for to put the fucking centipedes into the orphans and fucking inject himself with monster blood and then use the monster blood to summon monsters to attack his own agency?
Dude, the funniest thing, we looked it up. The opening text crawl was added because test audiences thought the movie was too fucking confusing. Well, I have a fucking thing to tell you. Even with that text crawl, none of this makes any goddamn sense.
Zero.
Here's the ending. They're gonna blow up the door. The dude's like, fuck, I fucked up. He blows himself up. They go to an empty city. End. End movie.
Now, why in the fuck would that guy have to go back? Why couldn't he just, like, fucking open the door and detonate it right there? Why did he have to reset the bomb
for five seconds
and then die. Blow the fuck up?
You know why? Because have you seen that movie where there's, like, that slightly douchey character, but you sort of like him, where at the end of the movie, he sacrifices himself for the cause.
You mean like every 90s movie ever?
Like every movie.
Every 90s action movie.
But like, here's the problem. At least in those movies, those characters have like something.
Some character development? Ooh, what a concept. Character development.
In this movie, in one scene, he's like, fuck you. Next scene, he's like, you know what? You're right.
You're okay.
And then next scene, he's like, I'm going to kill myself.
Sacrifice myself.
None of it. Who gives a shit?
This movie makes no fucking sense.
Tara Reid spends the whole movie doing nothing.
She sits at a desk for half the movie.
She sits at a desk. There's a sex scene. She reads some words on a wall. End.
Christian Slater barely does
anything. Christian Slater shoots some dude, fights a guy, then walks down like a hallway, looks at some demons.
Also, why does reveal nothing? The fact that he was trying to be a sleeper and then like got electrocuted and then nothing happens? Like there was no reason to show that.
Because
he might as well just not have had the parasite in him, because that still would have been the same. It would have been the same plot point.
You know why? Because in the plot of the movie, all the orphans are sleepers, right? They needed one reason.
But what's the point of the sleepers?
Who the fuck knows, dude?
They didn't do anything. They were like taken out, like they were dispatched, like they were nothing, fucking flies, like just like.
Uwe Boll watched Manchurian Candidate once. And wanted that in his movie.
Dude, this, like, seriously has the most plot point, like most plot holes. It is fucking insane. Like, nothing makes sense. It doesn't, like, tie it all together at the end. It just leaves you fucking guessing.
Tie it together? Dude, nothing.
Zero makes sense about this film.
Not a goddamn thing.
Like,
I
can't explain to you what the fucking plot was.
Dude, it's like they couldn't just make a movie about monsters.
There had to be sleepers for some reason.
Sleepers.
But that couldn't be like, you know, Universal Soldier sleepers, where it was like the fucking Unit 317 that the fucking doctor was working towards, but then fucking created the monsters to attack Unit 317, but then injected the orphans with the fucking parasite to attack 317. They failed horribly.
Because if one day in the future, a 1,000-year-old chest from the bottom of the ocean would open up all the sleepers that were created. All the sleepers that were created 20 years ago would wake up.
By one monster being released, even though there's like a million monsters below the ground.
And a 1,000-year-old monster would wake up.
And then for some reason, because one monster escaped, like there's a trillion monsters just fucking roaming everywhere, and he can control every single one of them by just injecting the blood into his fucking forearm. But just magically can control them now.
But you know why the sleepers don't wake up from those billions of monsters down there? Because there's two doors there. There's two whole doors.
How did the dude get the fucking other monster in the first place? There's like a million monsters already, and like there's no explanation where they came from, because arguably one monster came out of that chest, right?
One.
And there's that is the only.
But we've seen them. We know that more than one cannot fit in that fucking chest.
Yes, it's impossible. They're huge. They're fucking huge.
Also, like, they. What's the point of the invisibility? Other than to save money. What's the point of the invisibility?
Nothing. It doesn't work at all.
We see them go invisible.
You can see them in the light.
Like a handful of times. That's it.
For no reason.
You know why? Because Uwe Boll loved that shot where the invisible monster smashes through the glass.
Because, you know why? Because he could just blow up the glass and then have it explain that the fucking monster was smashing through the glass.
And then we as the audience will just be like, whoa.
This is incoherent garbage.
Dude. Not a single thing in this movie makes any fucking sense,
nothing,
dude.
There's no fucking value in this movie.
I'm done.
Is garbage. I'm done. I'm done. Shitty to pretty.
We already know.
One.
Zero.
Yeah, if you could do a zero.
It's Uwe Boll. It doesn't... It's not worth it. He can't.
This movie is fucking terrible. And you can't... And there's a reason you can't find it on any platform.
Well, we found it. I'm not going to say how. But we watched it. I'm just going to say, though...
I don't even think you can rent it on anything.
No, you have to pay for a fucking separate subscription just to watch this garbage pile. You know what? Don't.
Just
don't.
Save yourself.
Don't.
And just don't watch it.
You don't need this.
It is fucking trash.
You don't need
this. Do not
this.
Waste an hour and 34 minutes of your life watching this garbage.
It's okay? Not worth it. It's not worth it. Don't
listen,
do it.
I don't know how Uwe Boll tricked people into producing like
this cost $20 million.
I don't know how he did this. I don't know how he tricked people into thinking this was a good idea. How he tricked the studio into thinking like, hey, just give me $20 million.
It's fine.
And you know what? We'll be fine.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, we trust you.
Can
you imagine being in the executives and watching a test screening of this garbage?
Well, he made House of the Dead.
I know. And someone produced that shit. And then, after seeing both these films, they continued to produce his fucking films.
We'll get there.
We have fucking, like, 14 more films to go through.
We have 14 more masterpieces.
Fuck it. I'm not even calling them film. They don't even deserve to be called films. They're just fucking garbage. Hot, smelly, sweaty garbage. Like garbage that's been left in a fucking like 100-degree day, just fucking like stewing in the fucking sun. And like you can't even like, you're not even a mile from it and you can already fucking smell the fucking fumes coming off this thing. It's the most foul like pieces of shit I've ever seen. This is almost like fucking Curse of the Headless Horseman level bad.
Dude, at least, like, Curse of the Headless Horseman has the excuse of being cheap.
And Curse of the Headless Horseman is honestly one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my entire life.
This doesn't even have the excuse of being cheap.
This is like, the plot is so loosely threaded together that it makes no fucking sense.
Plot?
There's barely a plot. It's like the Ebkani just fucking summoned this thing, and here it is, and here's some incoherent garbage that you'll never understand, and they're not going to explain it ever, even though there is exposition in the movie, but they can't even fucking explain it in the movie. A voiceover of Christian Slater could not even explain this fucking movie.
We have a text crawl and voiceover.
Yes.
And it's
not
enough.
And they could not fucking explain... I don't even know if they fucking knew what was going on in the movie.
Yeah.
Uwe Boll just thought it looked cool.
Somehow he thought this looked cool.
I don't know how. There is something wrong with that man.
No shit, dude. Fuck you.
He makes torture devices like this, so.
I think we're done.
Yep.
It's over.
I'm done. That was Alone in the Dark.
We'll be back with a normal movie next time.
Yep. And then another fucking Uwe Boll fucking horrible garbage pile.
But, yeah. So at least we're back to our regular thing.
Yep. Sorry if I was a little what am I trying to say?
Don't bother.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not worth
anyway, it. Anyway, for They Mostly Come Out at Night, this has been Will.
This has been Alex.
And we will talk to you all later.
Oh, God. Bye.
Fuck.
Fuck, dude.
God, I want to be alone in the dark after this fucking movie.
You'll wish.
Oh, my God.
Alone in the audience.
Saving fucking grace.
Jesus Christ.